the practice of transcendental meditation, which is a simple natural method to bring our conscious mind deep within the thinking process and tap the source of a thought. The source of thought is a reservoir of energy and intelligence. The reason I gave was very rational, very obvious, that a thought flows. Due to energy it flows. And a thought always flows in a specific direction. It is the intelligence that gives direction to a thought. So every thought is built up of energy and intelligence. And because thoughts after thoughts are coming from within, so that area, which is the source of all thought, must necessarily be an inexhaustible reservoir of energy and intelligence. Therefore, in order to improve man's energy and intelligence, it is only necessary that his conscious mind reaches that area of the source of thought and thereby is filled with great energy and intelligence. This is how we can improve the ability and efficiency of any man in a very natural way and thereby give him a chance to be more efficient in life, to be more productive, more creative in life, and yet do not accumulate stress and strain. It is vital that we do something so that the people of our age do not gather stress and strain. Otherwise, if a man feels more responsible in society, wants to produce more, the result is that he undertakes to do more and more, and with the result that he gathers stress and strain and eventually dies of heart failure. I don't know how far it is true. Some people have told me that there are companies in the States that the sales manager doesn't live more than 2-3 years. He gets lots of hundreds of thousands every month, but his life is just 2-3 years. Can't sustain that constant pressure. This shows that it is absolutely necessary for all those who aspire for greater improvement and greater accomplishment in life to not only engage in increasing activity, but at the same time improve the efficiency, increase your energy. Our enthusiasm to accomplish more brings us to entertain more and more activity, but our increasing activity will not be at the cost of our life. If we remain balanced, if we increase energy and intelligence in the proportion we increase our activity. Transcendental meditation not only improves the capacity of man on the mental level, on the psychological level, but also improves the ability of nervous system, because it is the state of nervous system which has a corresponding state of consciousness. The mind thinks as nervous system behaves. If the nervous system is functioning normally, then the thinking is very clear, aspirations are good, and all thoughts are powerful and right and productive. But if the nervous system is strained, then it is not functioning normally, it just can't. And when it doesn't function normally, then the aspirations are distorted, thoughts are very unclear, productivity is low. And in such a state, tensions naturally will be increasing all the time. Therefore, What we concluded was that transcendental meditation is one simple natural technique whereby the nervous system could be strengthened to function normal, and this normal functioning of nervous system will produce a normal state of consciousness. If the body is functioning normally, normal function means all the physical structure is pure. At the same time, the structure is evenly functioning on both levels, on the material level and on the structural level. The ability of nervous system will be normal, and such a normal state of nervous system will produce normal state of consciousness. A normal state of consciousness will be full potentiality of the mind for every thought. Psychology shows we are using only a small portion of the mind. Full expansion of the mental capacity in order that the thought is as powerful as it can possibly be. This can happen only to a normally functioning nervous system. Transcendental meditation is the technique. All that I have been speaking and I will speak is the result of personal experience of thousands of people in all countries, and people belonging to all classes and all nationalities, all ways of living, all faiths, all religions. This is something which is within the range of the personality of man, outer personality, inner personality, mind and consciousness. So today we will be dealing with the states of consciousness, and then we will see how much we are living in our daily life, how much we are living and how much great possibility is there for us to live as human beings. Commonly we live waking state of consciousness, dreaming state of consciousness, sleep states of consciousness. These are three relative states of consciousness. Those who meditate, they retire from the outside, they take our awareness from the outside and gradually go deep into the thinking process and eventually go beyond the thought, transcend thought, and then the thinking mind, the conscious mind becomes consciousness. When it goes beyond thought, then it transcends thought and becomes consciousness. This consciousness is pure consciousness. The nature of this pure consciousness is bliss. It is non-changing sphere of life, because we have transcended all the variable section of relative life and gone to the absolute. This is called being, inner being, absolute bliss consciousness. This absolute bliss consciousness is eternal. Eternal it is because it is non-changing. Everything in the relative field is changing, changing, changing. When I talk of the relative field, I mean all the gross and subtle aspects of creation. Finest level of creation and then the grosser and the grossest level of creation. The entire cosmos. And deep within everything in creation is that field of being, which is transcendental being, transcendent, absolute. Transcendental meditation is that process which has made the realization of the absolute a scientific phenomena. Scientific phenomena means it can be explored in a very systematic manner, and it is open to experience by everyone. It only needs taking our attention from the gross field of activity in the relative life to the subtle fields of activity in the relative life, eventually to the subtlest field of activity in the relative life, and transcending the subtlest of the relative, we get to the transcendental absolute. In this way, bringing our attention in a systematic manner from gross to the subtle, we come to directly experience the absolute. And this systematic procedure of taking our attention from the outside to the inside has provided a systematic, scientific process of exploration into the nature of the absolute. And the nature has been found to be pure consciousness or bliss consciousness. Absolute, the word absolute so far was shrouded in the garb of mysticism. Even these days I hear some word transcendentalism. It is the transcendental field of life that is free from isms. All isms belong to the changing sphere of relative life. Every ism has some corresponding branch of learning. This ism or this ism or this ism. Transcendentalism is a word from the mouth of the ignorant. There is nothing like transcendentalism. Transcendental field of absolute is free from isms. It is pure intelligence, pure being, pure existence. This pure consciousness is the basis of all these waking, dreaming and sleeping states of consciousness. How do we know it? We know it for the simple reason that pure existence is the basis of all that exists. It's very obvious. All that exists exists on the basis of existence. The entire relative field of phenomenal existence is based on pure existence. Waking, dreaming and sleeping, these are the three relative states of consciousness. Belonging to the relative field, they are based on the absolute being. Therefore, these three states of consciousness are based on pure consciousness of absolute being. We have seen that the state of nervous system is responsible for the state of consciousness. Somehow the nervous system gets so tired and becomes so fatigued and stressed that instead of reflecting waking state of consciousness, it starts reflecting deep sleep state of consciousness. Nothing, no awareness, deep sleep. Or in between waking and sleeping, some dreaming state of consciousness. It is the resetting of the physical structure of nervous system that produces different states of consciousness. When through meditation, pure consciousness begins to be reflected by nervous system, then nervous system has a state which we call restful alertness. The entire metabolic rate becomes nil. The physical nervous system gets completely rested and yet it is alert. Inside one is awake. Mind is not functioning, it's not active, but the awareness is clear. This clarity of awareness is pure consciousness or pure awareness. As long as the thinking mind is experiencing a thought, so long the mind is a thinker. And the thought becomes finer and finer, and then the thinker becomes more and more alert in order to experience the finer thought. And then the thought becomes finer and finer, it becomes finest. And when the thought drops off, thinker remains all by himself. And this is self-realization. This state of pure consciousness is realization of the self. It's also called self-awareness. Here, the self is not aware of anything else. It was aware of the thought, and now the thought has dropped off. The self remains all by itself. It is aware of itself. This is self-awareness or self-consciousness. This is self-realization. What I have to do to realize myself, I have only to stop realizing things from within and see that I don't go to sleep. Otherwise, the daily experience is that when I am close to outer experience, then I go to sleep. This is the daily experience. If I go out of all this experience and don't fall into the inertia of sleep, then I'll be awake in myself. And when I am awake in myself, this is self-realization or self-consciousness or the state of being. This is how to be. When we are active, we are active, we are active, we are active. How to be? Stop being active, but don't become passive. This is how to be. The technique to be is stop acting, but don't go to sleep. Just be. Pure awareness. And this is self-realization. For thousands of years, maybe hundreds. Self-realization has been declared to be a difficult thing. It's surprising to a rational mind to be difficult to myself. A rational mind finds it difficult to believe that self-realization can be difficult. If I can be difficult to myself, then only self-realization can be difficult. But I can't be difficult to myself, because I am myself. The whole story of self-realization has been built up without foundation. Self-realization is the simplest thing that one could accomplish in life. I am not responsible for the fury of those writers who have been writing that it is difficult and difficult, and if I say it is easy, they must be furious on me. But I don't mind. Self-realization. Now, think for a moment. I see a flower, and I am this here, the object of sight is here. These are the two points of reference, but this point of reference is only with reference to this point of reference. The experiencer has to be established first before the object of experience could be established. I have to know myself first before I can know a flower. If I say, I see the flower, then the question comes, who sees the flower? Who is the seer? No. Finished. The whole activity of seeing and the phenomena of perception is completely invalid and baseless without the knowledge of the self. So the self has to be realized first, and then only anything else can possibly be realized. A student of physics, he says, I'm studying physics. Fine. Who is studying physics? The answer is nil. The whole field of knowledge is baseless. The basis of all the field of knowledge is language, the means of communication, language. The basis of language is the knowledge of the alphabet. Now, alphabet, A, B, C, D, fine. What is the basis of the alphabet? The answer is nil. This shows it clearly, that the present system of education, not indicating the source of alphabet, and not providing the knowledge of the source of alphabet, is completely baseless, because we pick up the alphabet when it comes on the vocal level. A, B, C, D, and all the combinations of it, the words and the language and the whole thing built up to develop all branches of learning. But the alphabet is picked up only on the vocal level. From where the thought starts, the source of thought is the source of alphabet, and unless the knowledge of the source of thought is provided, the whole field of education is baseless. And this is the reason why baseless education fails to provide fulfillment to life. No educated man today can stand up and say, I feel fulfilled. This is one angle of baseless education. Another drawback in this education is, now this is true of education in all parts of the world. It's not for one country. True for all over the world, the same ignorance, basic ignorance about the fundamental of education is prevailing, and that the world, any educated man can say with confidence, I feel fulfillment in life because I am an educated man from that university. No man knows how to bring fulfillment to his desires. Not even desires of any type, but even in the field of learning. The situation is that more he knows, that a greater field of the unknown lies ahead. This shows only the ignorance of the subject increases more than the knowledge. It's terrible to say like that, but that is the situation. Present education has only the ability of increasing the thirst for knowledge, but has not the ability to satisfy the thirst. Such a paralyzed system of education can only produce stress and strain, and can only be inefficient to make a man stand on his feet, fulfilled in life. Now, I am making another point about the baselessness of education, that the knowledge of the self is not provided. And without the knowledge of the self, the whole knowledge of any branch of learning is just hanging in the air. The student of physics, I am a student of chemistry. Fine. Who is the student of physics? This body? This mind? What? Who is the knower of knowledge? Without the nature of the self, the whole field of knowledge is completely baseless, bogus. It has no meaning. I see the flower. Is there any truth in this sentence, I see the flower? Who is the I? If I am in ignorance, then the whole process of seeing and the flower, the whole thing is based on ignorance. It is on the intellectual level that we decide the principles, not on what we see. Many a times the perception is deceptive, but what we decide intellectually, we hold that to be true. And if we decide intellectually that I am not found, then we decide intellectually that the whole process of seeing is just useless. It has no basis. It has no truth in it. We see the sun rising from the east and going to west every day. The sun is traveling. But we know it is not traveling. We base our principle on what we understand intellectually, not on what we see. We don't base our knowledge about the sun on what we see. It is rising in the east and traveling to the west. The sun never goes from east to west. When we know that without the knowledge of the self, the entire field of perception and action is just baseless, this is what makes the whole field of relative life completely hanging in the air. And a life hanging in the air without a basis must necessarily be in a state of non-fulfillment, must necessarily be in a state of suffering, chaos, confusion, no settlement anywhere. Therefore, the knowledge of the self is the basis of all that we live in the relative fields of life. all these states of consciousness, waking, dreaming, sleeping, are based on that self-consciousness. When we gain self-consciousness, then these three relative states of consciousness, waking, dreaming, sleeping, get a foundation to themselves. Otherwise, the whole field of life is without a foundation, like a wall without the foundation, ready to collapse at any time, always at the mercy of the wind. So this relative field of life, waking, dreaming, states of consciousness, if not supported and supplemented by the knowledge of the pure consciousness, the whole structure of life is baseless. And therefore, it is wise for everyone to know oneself first. And now through this transcendental meditation, it has become easy for everyone to know the self. Know thyself. From ages in the past, this has been heard, know thyself and know thyself and know thyself. But in the practical field of life today, know thyself has only remained some fanciful, ideological, abstract thinking. Because the modern man doesn't think in terms of himself. And when he does not think in terms of himself, he doesn't find his feet on the ground. Always in the air, always in the air. Too much of air. Huh? I'm experiencing that ever since I am here. Always I am in the air. I mean, so much of radio and television. But it is necessary to have our feet on the ground. Have our feet on the ground means we must be established in ourselves, and having been established in ourselves, everything is fine, because everything else is in terms of ourselves. Otherwise, we become in terms of everything else. And when I am in terms of everything else, then I am just like a leaf going around in the wind, any direction, here and there and there and there. One has to establish oneself, and if one has to establish oneself, better find that being, find that self, and then by the time we find oneself, what we find is our existence is enormous, unbounded, eternal, bliss, infinite happiness, infinite energy, infinite intelligence. Look at the great possibility. We have that great reservoir of intelligence, energy, happiness, eternity of life, absolute stability of being. And then we are not living that great inner treasury in our day-to-day life. What a loss to life and living. There is no greater damage and there is no greater loss to life than not finding that infinite reservoir within and not bringing it out to be lived in all sphere of activity. We can only repent for all the past hundreds of years where everything has been said to be difficult and difficult and difficult. All that has been wrong and completely obsolete for the present times. This pure consciousness is the fourth state of consciousness, waking, dreaming, sleeping, and this pure consciousness which we gain in transcendental meditation. In the beginning, the mind goes and comes out quickly. As we dive in and in the same stroke, we come out. We go in and come out and go in and come out and go in. A few divings in and out and in and out and in and out, what happens? The cold of the bottom begins to be lived even when we come out on the surface. And this is for we dive in and out. The bliss of the pure consciousness which the mind gains when the mind reaches the source of thought or reaches the being, that comes out adhered to the nature of the mind as the mind goes and comes out and goes and comes out. Like the white cloth dipped in yellow color. And once it is dipped, it comes out. Every dipping brings the color little more and little more and little more and little more. What we do? If we know the art of coloring, then having dipped the cloth, we put it to the sun, allow it to fade away as much as it can fade away, and then put it back and put to the sun. That means we subject it to two contradictory processes, one of absorbing the color and the other of fading it out. Dip it and it absorbs the color. Put it to the sun and the color fades away. These two contrary processes together go to make the color fast. And one time, it never fades away, it becomes fast. Like that, the mind goes deep within, it becomes pure consciousness. Just as the wave, it begins to sink on the water, and comes on the flat, motionless surface of the ocean. The wave becomes the ocean. Absolute silence. No trace of the wave. It becomes the ocean. Another wave comes up. The ocean rises up in a wave. The wave gains an individuality. Then it sinks, it gains that unboundedness of the ocean. Like that, the individual mind getting to the transcendent state of pure consciousness or being, it becomes being, unbounded, eternal, it becomes pure consciousness, it becomes bliss consciousness, it becomes that nature of that field, bliss consciousness, stability, non-changing feature of being, all these qualities adhere to the nature of the mind. Some of it, the mind engages in the field of activity, and then quite a lot of that quality is gone, it evaporates, and then comes back again and gets saturated again, and coming out into the field activity, it loses itself again. This back and forth, putting the mind to activity, putting the mind to meditation, to that state of pure consciousness, bringing it to activity again. 5 minutes in the bank and full day in the market, and again 5 minutes in the bank and full day in the market. Just this proportion. We don't meditate all time, no. We come out of meditation and put ourselves full-fledged in activity. Tremendous activity we undertake. And then in the evening we go back again, a few dives in the evening. And then in 10, 12 hours of the night it's gone again. This is culturing the nervous system. Subjecting the nervous system to retire from activity, to get complete rest in that restful alertness which produces pure being or pure consciousness. Exposing the nervous system back to activity, giving these swings from activity to least activity, the nervous system gains that habit of quickly transferring itself to this waking state, quickly transferring itself to this pure consciousness. This quick transference of the physical structure gives the nervous system an ability where it continues to reflect pure consciousness at the time when it is reflecting waking state of consciousness. So both states of consciousness begin to be reflected simultaneously. One lives bliss consciousness permanently, whether one is waking or dreaming or sleeping. In the deep sleep, one is wide awake inside the body and mind. Everything takes complete rest, deep rest, body complete deep rest. Inside, completely awake. During activity, one is engaged in vigorous activity, but has an unshakable stand of bliss consciousness. One begins to live these two states of consciousness simultaneously, waking and pure consciousness. And this is called cosmic consciousness. This state of cosmic consciousness has a corresponding state of nervous system, in which the nervous system does not lose pure consciousness, does not lose that restful alertness in bliss consciousness. Nervous system never loses that state of restful alertness which reflects bliss consciousness. even though it is engaged in the field of activity in the waking state, even though it is engaged in the activity of the illusory experiences during dreaming state, even though it is engaged in the passivity of the deep sleep. In whatever state of relative consciousness the nervous system is exposed, it retains that absolute bliss consciousness. This state of life, where the nervous system is permanently established in restful alertness, reflecting bliss consciousness, no matter whether one engages in waking, dreaming, or sleeping states of relative consciousness. Such a state of life is called cosmic consciousness. Cosmic means all-inclusive. All-inclusive in this connection is relative states of consciousness and absolute state of consciousness. All the three, relative and one absolute, taken together. This is cosmic consciousness. Now, permanent state of cosmic consciousness is only possible when the nervous system is cultured to reflect both absolute and relative. Therefore, we must bear in mind that cosmic consciousness cannot be gained by psychological thinking. One may begin to think that I am experiencing this and experiencing this. It will be mental hallucination. It's not by thinking about cosmic consciousness that the nervous system can be cultured. No, not thinking, not mood making, not apprehension about cosmic consciousness, not imagination about cosmic consciousness, but subjecting the nervous system to gain pure consciousness and subjecting it back to gain waking state of consciousness. This way, the real culture of the physical structure of the personality is responsible to bring about cosmic consciousness. It's a state which is as realistic to life as waking state of consciousness. So now we have these five states of consciousness: waking, dreaming, sleeping, pure consciousness, and cosmic consciousness. Now, cosmic consciousness is nothing other than the absolute consciousness, which we call fourth, plus waking state of consciousness. Two together is cosmic consciousness. The advantage of such a life is that one lives permanently bliss consciousness. One is stabilized in the attunement of infinite energy and intelligence. This gives a status to one's life. Firstly, one never loses oneself in the field of relative life. Secondly, plunging into all fields of thought and action, one finds a way to fulfillment of his desires, because in tune with infinite energy and intelligence. This feature of being established in the infinite energy and intelligence and bliss consciousness brings fulfillment to life. This is brought about in a systematic way, in a scientific way, of bringing the attention from the waking state of consciousness to the inner being, bringing the mind back and forth, back and forth. Now, this state of cosmic consciousness, though establishes a man on a very high pedestal of development, yet there is some more chance of development. And it won't be difficult for us, even on the level of rational thinking, to find out that there would be a state of consciousness more glorified than what we have been talking so far in the name of cosmic consciousness. Now, so far we have seen the realization of cosmic consciousness is not a matter of faith or belief. No one need believe in his self in order to live his self, in order to live bliss consciousness, in order to realize the bliss of the self. We don't have to believe in ourselves. I may not believe that I have the self, but if I start exploring the finer regions of thinking, I'll find what my self is. So it's not a matter of belief. Quite similarly, we don't have to believe on cosmic consciousness, no. It is a state of consciousness which develops all by itself if we keep on exposing ourselves outside and inside and outside and inside. It's not a matter of belief at all. That is why I was emphasizing that for ages, this whole field of integration of personality has been shrouded in the garb of mysticism, where nothing could be explained properly and systematically. It is this transcendental meditation, the teaching of my master, that has brought out the reality of life from the shrouded field of mysticism to the clear daylight of modern science. We are talking of the field of consciousness, but we are talking in terms of our daily experience. We are talking ourselves in gaining different states of consciousness on the basis of experience, which will culture the mind and maintain that state of life, which, whatever name we give it, doesn't matter. Whether we give it a state of integration of life, integrated state of consciousness, or we call it cosmic consciousness, or we call it XYZ consciousness, any consciousness. Name doesn't matter. What matters is that state of life where one doesn't lose oneself. I'll make clear this point. When I say one doesn't lose oneself, what I mean? You see, if I don't know what I am, then what happens? I see the flower. And the image of the flower enters through the retina and falls on the screen of the mind. This falling of the image on the screen of the mind gives me the perception of the flower. What has happened in this case? The mind, the pure nature of the mind is, as we have seen through the discussion so far, is pure consciousness. Because we have seen that when this subtlest state of thought drops off, then the mind remains all by itself. And that is the pure nature of the mind, which is pure consciousness. Conscious mind, which was conscious of the thought, in the absence of the thought, remains consciousness. Conscious mind becomes consciousness. So this consciousness, which is bliss in its nature, is the real nature of the mind. When the image of the flower falls on the screen of the mind is bliss consciousness, then bliss consciousness becomes overshadowed by the image of the flower. And this is how every experience loses the real nature of the mind, which is bliss consciousness. We enjoy the flower at the cost of bliss consciousness. That means we register on our record $100 gain, and what we find is $1 million lost. Bliss consciousness overshadowed by the joy of this little flower. This is what we mean, that we lose ourselves in the object of perception. Whatever we see, that scene imprints in our mind. And what we lose is real nature of the mind, bliss consciousness of the mind. Just like the cinema screen, white. The screen is white, but all the pictures that fall on it overshadow that white color. What we see is the colored pictures. What we don't see is the real nature of the screen. Like that, if I am not able to retain myself when I am experiencing something, then that something gets imprinted on my own real nature, which is bliss consciousness. And the result is that I lose bliss consciousness and then gain the joy of this experience. This is what I meant when I said we lose ourselves in the experience. This, in the philosophical language, is called identification. When you see a flower, when you see something, you get yourself so identified that you lose yourself. Lots of philosophers in the past, many, many hundreds of centuries, almost all philosophers who have dealt with this term, identification, they have recommended their readers to maintain the self and not lose the self when they are experiencing here and there and there. Lots of groups in different parts of the world, they have said that if you are looking at a mic, just feel that you are looking at the mic, maintain your awareness. Now this maintenance of awareness is on the level of thinking. You are looking at the mic and yet you are thinking about yourself so that you don't get lost in this. It's such a peculiar suggestion. And lots of people have lost their practicalities of life in this. Only the matter remains and the value of the inner spirit gets lost. That pure consciousness is called the spirit or being. Now, when I say spirit, I don't mean these spirits which become mediums and all that, huh? Not the spirit of the spirit world, spiritism, but the spirit, the inner being. So, only the matter remains, the flower remains, and what gets lost is pure consciousness or the inner spirit or being. So, when the matter only dominates, and the value of the spirit is overshadowed by the value of the matter, then it is called material life. A man lives material life when he is not able to secure, he is not able to hold on to his inner spirituality of being, when he has to sacrifice being for the sake of material experience. This is a material life. Spiritual life will be that one is wide awake in his own nature, in the nature of the self, or in the nature of inner spirituality, in the nature of inner being. One is wide awake and one is closed to all the impressions of the outside material life. That is transcendental pure consciousness. This is pure spiritual life. This is pure spirituality. Pure spirituality is transcendental being, pure consciousness. Pure material life is the mind subjected to outside experience where the self is not able to maintain its pure being. Inner spirituality, outer material life. In between the two is spiritual life. Integrated life is that state where we enjoy the outside world of and experience everything of relative life, and yet we are able to hold on to our bliss consciousness. This is integration of life. We are experiencing, yet not lost in the experience. And this is the state that is created by the regular practice of transcendental meditation, which exposes our nervous system alternately to pure consciousness and waking state of consciousness, pure consciousness, waking state of consciousness. That means we do not eradicate the value of outer life. What we do is we allow the inner spirituality to zoom forth. We drag the inner spirituality to come out. And this is the technique of living spiritual life in the midst of all material life. And this is what International Meditation Society offers: 200% value of life, 100% outer material and 100% inner spiritual. And that by looking in and looking out and looking in and looking out and looking in. One day we begin to look out. Sometime we are out in the garden, sometime inside, sometime outside, sometime in. And when we get bored of getting in and out and in and out, we remove the wall and make it glass. Huh? And the intelligent architect made the glass wall right from the beginning so that we don't have to repent in the end. We live in the inner warmth of the living room and enjoy the outside garden, both together at the same time. This is the skill of modern housing. We must live in the warmth of the living room and must enjoy the glory of the garden outside. This is modern living. First step to God realization is self-realization. By the time one realizes the self, one realizes the relationship of the outer world with the inner self. It has always been a scientific method of exploration that we go from the known to the unknown. And in order to find the identity of God, or in order to find that who has created the whole big cosmos, we can start only from the knowledge of creation. And when we have got on to some knowledge of the unbounded creation, then our aspiration to find the creator would be valid. Until we have found the whole creation, the search for the creator is just a fanciful idea of some abstract nature which will not conform to any practicality of our life. And if we want to know the whole of nature, then the wisdom demands that we must know what we are. Otherwise, who is going to find out all this? First, self-realization is the first step to any knowledge whatsoever. What to say of the knowledge of God, even on knowledge of this and this and this and this and this. First, self-realization is the basis of it, because it is the self which projects the consciousness outside, and one realizes the knowledge of the source of alphabet, the source of thought, is the self. So the first step of highest attainment is self-realization. And when one realizes the self, what one realizes is that I am that unbounded, eternal, absolute, non-changing being, bliss consciousness I am. And then, in comparison with the inner nature of myself, the entire world is changing, it is phenomenal, it has variety of joys, but the being is eternal bliss consciousness. This is bound in time and space, everything is bound in time and space, but being is unbounded, beyond space, it is of transcendental nature. It lies in the field of eternity of time. This is time, space, causation bound relative life, and that is timeless, spaceless, unbounded eternity. This is the realization that one gets when one knows what oneself is. So, realization of the self first, and then realization of the creation. The two realizations give the relationship between the inner self and the outer world. And the relationship of the inner self and the outer world is, this is relative, this is absolute. When one has established the self, knows the outer world, and established the relationship with the creation, with the unbounded creation, then one rises to find the creator. Having realized the creator, one rises to establish the relationship of the creator with the self within. And that relationship of the creator establishes God consciousness, where one lives the absolute and the supreme relative at the same time. Having lived that for some time, one begins to realize the mechanics that lie between the highest relative and the absolute, and this makes clear to him what is that in nature which separates the two, and with this knowledge one finds that they are essentially the same. So this unity of life is not only a fanciful thought on the level of metaphysical understanding or on the fanciful level of imagination. It is a living reality to which the nervous system is as thoroughly exposed as the psychology. on both levels of consciousness and corresponding level of the physical nervous system. On both of these, God consciousness and supreme knowledge is lived, and everyone must live it. This is the finding of the modern science. Thousands of books on philosophy and on all kinds of things that amount to be a waste of time, even for the authors and even for the readers in this age. With this finding, and this is the solid message of the International Meditation Society. For about 4 years in the beginning of my movement, I was only devoted to establishing the value of the absolute into the relative life, value of the absolute into the relative. It's only from about fifth or sixth year that I started to speak about the light of the celestial, and it's only since last year that I have started to explain about God consciousness in a systematic manner, and it's only from about this year that I have started to speak about that state of supreme knowledge. These things cannot be understood clearly enough to bring satisfaction on the intellectual level even without the experience. A few days of experience in transcendental meditation, when the mind begins to retire in a very systematic manner from the gross thinking to the subtle thought, to the source of thought, a few times one has known this march of the mind from out inwards, and a few flashes of inner pure bliss consciousness, then one is able to understand this whole philosophy of development, of realization of the self and development of self-consciousness to become all-time reality, and then from there glorification of cosmic consciousness into God consciousness, and from there the rising to supreme knowledge. This supreme knowledge is the knowledge of Vedanta. The whole field of yoga is from waking state of consciousness to this self-consciousness and making this self-consciousness permanent into cosmic consciousness. This is the field of yoga. Having gained cosmic consciousness, yoga or union is complete. Then this union, state of union, becomes glorified through devotion. And devotion plays a great part. The heart has to be cultured for the direct realization of that celestial nature of life. It's a fully cultured heart that brings the light of that celestial experience, and from there one glorifies cosmic consciousness into God consciousness. So the field of yoga is glorified through devotion in order to give rise to God consciousness. And from that God consciousness, devotion finds its fulfillment in the supreme knowledge when God consciousness is lived for some time. All these centuries passed, God and God and God and God, God. If the word God has persisted all these centuries, there was a reason for the validity of this word, and the reason was this, that every man can, if he likes, rise to that state of supreme knowledge by realizing the self and realizing cosmic consciousness and realizing God consciousness. One could rise to that supreme knowledge beyond which there is no possibility of any more expansion of consciousness, beyond which there is no possibility of any development of life. And having risen to that most developed state of human life, so that one lives that high state of life where everything is easy and one's life is fully supported by nature, every thought will be materialized, just we don't do anything and enjoy everything. One should live life and enjoy life on that level.